CaltechOnline.com. In 2009, Alan Hardman was interviewed by Miguel Ruiz Jr. about ceremony and leading ritual. Here is that recording, which Alan shares with delight and great affection.
And I want to say thank you so much for joining in. You're listening to CoCreatorNetwork.com, internet radio, and it's a wonderful place to be. And today I have a very special guest, Don Alan Hardman, author of the book, The Everything Celtic Wisdom Book, and also one of my father's main apprentices. I've witnessed Don Alan working with my father for many, many years. I was a teenager when I first met him, and now I'm 33, and he's a wonderful, wonderful man. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Miguel. Thank you for that. That's very sweet. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you so much for being in our show.
Oh, pleasure.
Thanks. So, today's show, I want to talk about ceremony and the power of ceremony. And one of the things I've, growing up with Alan and my dad, is that I've witnessed Alan bring in ceremony to my father and to the whole Toltec community. And I wanted to really get into it and involve that from that point of view. Alan?
Yeah.
When you started your path, how was it that you introduced yourself or ceremony introduced itself into you?
You know, before I met Don Miguel, I had been doing a form of hypnotherapy called alchemical hypnotherapy, and we'd been training new people and doing a lot of work. And we did not the same kind of ritual and ceremony, but it was a very, very dynamic and a lot of three-dimensional psychodramas and thing. And I really had a feeling, a love for drumming and that sort of thing. But I think it's always been in me. I've always loved fire and drums, and it's been part of my being forever, I think.
I remember like one of the things that we were, I believe, in New Mexico. I think that's when I first met you, and we were doing some form of a fire ceremony, and my father asked you to take over the ceremony, and you introduced chants that I've never heard in my life before, because having grown up with my grandmother, was really my family, the person who really led ceremony was my grandmother,
uh-huh.
Form of intent and mastery. And then when I saw you, it was a wonderful dance that something I've never witnessed. I mean, my grandma would sit down, close her eyes, and start reciting for prayers, reciting for things, and all of us would just sit there. And often I see you, and you introduce movement, you introduce sound, you introduce a whole new way of intent that I'd never seen before. Can you tell us a little bit about that, about your way of really expressing ceremony?
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about why, you know, like why we do ritual and ceremony and what it evokes in our lives.
Okay.
You know, I think I like to look at the kind of three levels of consciousness or awareness. And in the Toltec path, they're represented by the serpent and the jaguar and the eagle. And when we're living serpent lives, the serpent to me is in the grass, can't see much but food and can't see the big picture at all. And just worrying about safety and food. But I think in that, when we're in that serpent place, a lot of us still have a longing for something bigger, for more of a connection, for there's a sense that there's something bigger and more divine that we could contact, and we reach out, we want to contact that. And people go to church and they pray and they do all kinds of things. But if we're stuck in that serpent place, if we have doubt and cynicism and egos involved, belief systems that get in the way, it's very hard to really reach out and touch that other place that we long for. And a lot of the work we do with our apprentices and stuff, as you know, is about helping them break down those beliefs and change that cynicism and doubt into willingness and openness. But ceremony and ritual are a way to do that directly. when we, especially when we're moving and drumming and there's fire and there's, that takes us back like 500,000 years, you know, it takes us out of our mind and out of our left brain and into more of that right brain, that place of intuition and that direct connection with that divinity and that bigger picture. So I think that's a lot of why people have always reached out to experience rituals of any kind, whether it's individual prayer, you know, lighting a candle and praying, or bowing, you know, even just walking into a sacred place and bowing, or to a teacher and bowing. God, it carries so much. It's not the mind doing it. It's not the mind sitting there thinking, well, I should quit smoking, and if I did, then I would be healthier, and, you know, or I wish I could know God. It's the direct experience of the truth of who we are, really, when we move out of the way, when we move beyond the doubt and the cynicism and the beliefs that say, what are you doing dancing around here like a stupid idiot, the fool, you know? What are your friends going to say if they find out about this? But we can move beyond that. And moving our bodies and having like incense or smoke or smudge or something like that, those kinds of ritual things that belong to our DNA practically, you know, our collective unconscious, those are the things that can move us out of our daily routines and into a higher place. So I think that's the kind of the reason that most people are drawn into those kinds of rituals, whatever they are. Ceremonies, even if it's just sitting down at our own private altar and lighting a candle and asking for something or praying or meditating in silence, they're all ways of doing something different than being busy and running around and trying to get the details of life done. And those are the moments when we can connect directly with that higher, more spiritual essence. So I think that's what kind of the underlying motive is, whether people are conscious of it or not. And so then from... Go ahead.
Do you remember that moment when you first, when you were starting to do ceremony, that, do you remember that, what was that one moment that allowed you to leave the mind, you know, like you were explaining, like, what I'm doing here, what am I, like, what my friends see me? Do you remember the moment where you were able to make that jump from that into what you're describing right now, and like, to have that communion, to have that expression?
Wow. It takes me so far back. I'm imagining, I used to spend a lot of time in the forest by myself and sitting around campfires in California. And I had a drum that I took with me. And I used to sit and just drum this very just, I don't know, almost monotonous, you know, just like a heartbeat, like boom, 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 and stare into the fire. Whew, talk about leaving the world of notes of things I have to do. Okay. And so then there came a time when I brought that in just into the work, and it was such a smooth and gentle transition. I don't remember any real, like, once I started doing the Toltec work and the Toltec teachings, I don't remember any real moment that it just said, oh, you know, here's like the beginning of something. It just was such a natural way. And whenever I think about it, and when you speak of it, I keep going back to that physical place that I love doing fires and with groups especially, because when we're in group ceremony, it creates an entirely additional energy to an individual ceremony, which transports us even more. And everybody does it differently. If we have a big fire and we've got 50 people moving around it, dancing, coming up to the fire, doing some specific thing at the fire with some intention, everybody's going to do it differently. You see people standing at kind of at the back tapping their foot. You see other people right up at the fire drumming and going crazy and just totally leaving their conscious, you know, that self-consciousness and cynic behind, just saying, you know, they just abandon themselves to what's moving in them. And those are the people that seem to get, of course, the most out of it, too. So I always like to go around the back and push people into the front.
I remember that.
Get in there and feel it, you know.
I remember that. I actually remember, I have a very vivid memory of it, of something like you did exactly that. It was back in Easter of 2004. We were doing, my dad, like all of us, the Hotola community, we were having our annual Easter celebration at the time.
Uh-huh.
And we were up in Carefree, Arizona. And we started a whole fire. It took a long time. And then I remember being asked to sit in front of a fire. And I remember just sitting there doing my prayers. And it was always just, I was still in my head. I was still remembering, like, what am I doing here? Like, it's just, it was really that point.
Yeah.
And as I was doing that, all of a sudden I see you come up and just push, not just, you didn't push me, but by doing it, you did. And I remember you grabbing someone and putting them next to the fire and just allowing them to really experience that moment. And it went, bam! Like, this person just really, it was a weird jump. And then someone else did it again. And then I see you completely allowing these people to give themselves permission to take that jump, but also just by allowing me watching you do that, I made that jump as well.
Wow.
And it was a wonderful experience for me. It felt so far that this is why I remember calling for you, because that moment for me was such a special moment. And it reminded me of that jump from my mind.
Uh-huh.
Like one thing with my grandmother, because, you know, she didn't speak any English, so she always had me translate. And the only way I could translate her, because she wouldn't stop for me, she would just go, and realize that if I needed to translate her as she goes, I could not think anything. I said those words, I talked about those words, and if I lost a word, if I tried to get it, I lose her, completely lose her.
Yeah.
So as time went on, I was gotten good about just closing my own thoughts and just letting her words come through. And then in that particular ceremony, I saw that everything that she did for me, that was what you were showing everyone.
Hmm.
And I always thought it was just a wonderful, strong point.
That's a really good point. Yeah, it's a good thing to point out that in that group situation, it's infectious. It really is. And, you know, there was a time in my early time when I first started teaching and doing apprentice circles when Don Miguel and I were talking about the power sticks that we used to make for people, these beautiful wrapped sticks with feathers. And he said, when you do it, you're doing it for you. And I wasn't sure what he meant at first, but when I started doing it, it took so much attention to all the little threads and the little knots and everything. By the third one I did, if I had a group of 15, 20 people doing this, by the third one I made, with an apprentice sitting right in front of me watching every move, I moved into a very, very different space. I was very altered. It took me out of my head because my attention was so focused on blessing this thing for them and my connection with them and a bigger connection with the divine. And that's what happens too when I'm leading a ceremony like that, and is if I can't take people to that place unless I'm there too.
Mm-hmm.
And so by coming to the fire myself and surrendering to the fire and feeling my body and moving my body, I bring myself to that place, and then I can go and bring somebody else to that place. I don't think it's
when you have a group like that, what is the beginning process of taking the whole group slowly into that?
I think the very beginning process is a life lived in that kind of connection, so you don't have to manufacture it from the very beginning at the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
But at the ceremony, I like to do the ceremony. I love fire. I mean, I keep referring to fire and drumming. We could just as easily be talking about maybe sitting and chanting, or like sometimes we do when we do a Dreamtime overnight mitote, you know, and we're like, we're chanting and there's candles on an altar, and we could be talking about anything like that. But I just, when I think of ceremony, I just love being at a fire. And I go to the fire and I do the work first. Other people are doing it, of course, too, but in order to prepare myself, I want to move into that place. And so that's what I do, is I dance the fire, and I always have a drum or a rattle, and have the rhythm of that drum or rattle transport me out of my, oh, are people going to get this? Oh, is this going to work? Oh, what if it doesn't work? What if nobody likes it? What if, you know, what if my fly is open? And just move completely out of that realm of mind, like you were saying, you know, and it's so easy for us to get stuck there. And so I want to move out of that first. Then when I'm inviting other people to move out of that, it can be very authentic. And the power, the energy exchange is a lot of the invitation. If I go up to somebody who's kind of stuck, and I can see they're physically stuck and they're in that mind place, and I can look them in the eye and drum and rattle and dance, you know, feel my body moving and just connect with them eye to eye and feed them the energy. There's no point in saying, I really think you should be dancing, you know, here, and I don't think you're doing the work, and they're already doing that to themselves.
Yeah.
But if we can take that energy to them and just like entrain them, is a word in psychology, you know, so that they can almost not help feeling it inside of them because it's coming from us. There's magic there. And believing it, you know, really having faith in that power of that experience.
Which leads me to our next question about faith and power.
You know, I think it's faith. I think you used the word. I don't know that ceremony itself, just as itself, has any power at all. I think our faith invests or imbues that ceremony with power. And there are, you know, life is filled with ceremony and ritual, and so many of our rituals in life become very empty because we're not conscious of the fact that it's a ritual. Brushing our teeth, for instance. We do something we do on a repeated basis can be a ritual. But the thing about ritual or ceremony that makes it work is having faith that it is something that's working or going to work or does work, and also bringing our attention to it, our attention to the intent, our attention to the intent of the ceremony. And that could be the, you know, working around a fire, or it could be sitting at an altar to pray.
It reminds me of a story. Last time I was in Texas, a great friend of ours, kind of asked to tell me a story of someone else in Texas that was doing a fire walk, and she was really got into the ceremony and really in tune with what's going on in the group. And all of a sudden, she started feeling some form of resistance. And she looked around the group, and she had noticed that there was no one really How is that possible?
You know, that is such a fabulous question. It's a dilemma that I struggle with too, because I really believe in the power of thought affecting creation. Uh-huh. And I use thought in that way, and then in my word. And then on the other hand, I also know that creation is a dream that I'm dreaming, and it's not really even out there. So at that level of awareness, I think, well, how could it affect, how could my word or a prayer affect anything positive or negatively, when there's actually not a creation except in my own, I'm dreaming it in my own mind, but it's not really out there. It's a fascinating back and forth in my world about what is real here, because I've read a lot of studies and a lot of writing about experiments, you know, real scientific experiments where they've worked with prayer and seen the effects, and yet they're talking about manipulating a universe that, according to modern physics and higher spirituality, says doesn't exist. So very confusing.
So I guess it brings us back down to the power of our faith, the power of our words. Even though sometimes we dismiss it, we don't really know that we're doing it. Our word, our being ceremony, being prayer, being in work, can manifest itself and create itself, and dance with this reality, I guess you can say.
And belief is a real key here. If we're creating our own universe, then we're going to, what we believe is what will show up in our universe. And if we really, I mean, this goes off in a whole different direction, but if we really believe that we have a parking fairy, and so we're driving into town and we say, okay, parking fairy, I need a parking place right in front of this place, and we drive up and there's a space, and we pull in and we go, oh my God, my parking fairy really cares about me and really works that I have this communication with the parking fairy. But if they drive up and there is no space, then they don't have a tally sheet and say, you know, they don't gain evidence, oh, one time out of space and four times I didn't. Either my parking fairy is very capricious about this, or it's just an accident, or, you know, if we believe in our parking fairy, then we will gather evidence from that time that the space is there. So our belief helps us to support our belief in our reality. I heard a comedian one day talking about, he said, I told God, he said, I was trying to lose weight and I knew I shouldn't do it, but I really wanted to stop at that ice cream store. And he said, I told God, he's a Christian comedian, he said, I told God if there was a space in front of that ice cream store when I drove up, then he wanted me to have the ice cream. And he said, and no, by God, I drove up there and it only took 8 trips around the block before there was, God made a space right there in front of that ice cream store for me. So, is it our belief that creates our reality? Is there a reality that our beliefs can work with, or our word can go out and affect that reality? Or is it only something we're dreaming? And if we're only dreaming it, then how come these scientific experiments show the power of prayer? Whew. It's over my head. I just have to just love it all.
You know, in that what you're saying there, like, another question arose in my mind. But, you know, there are moments in our life that, you know, we create, we manifest without really knowing that we do it. You know, like you were saying about the ice cream in the present, perfect space in front. But there are times when unintentionally or just subconsciously, we put our intent into something, and it manifests itself. And we tend to create a story about it afterwards, like as it happens, to create a story in order to justify it. How often do we, are we so much paying attention more to the story than
Yeah, and I think it depends on our level of awareness, but in the regular old Dream of the Planet, I think most people are totally focused on the stories and not on that piece behind it about how did I, what was my intention? What was my word? What was I putting out into the world? And with ceremonies too, it's very important to set a strong intent for a ceremony. I had a group, you know, I spend the winters now in a little beach village called Chicala on the west coast of Mexico, north of Puerto Vallarta. And I have a house there. And I had a group come down and do a Valentine's workshop with me, which I do every year. And I told them that we were going to go, we were having a fire on the beach, and we were going to meet there at a certain time and do a ritual. And I was really vague. I made assumptions. Number three, don't make assumptions. I assumed they knew what I meant. And so, when we said we'd meet at this restaurant, well, in front of a restaurant, just a little restaurant on the beach, and then walked down the beach, and we had all this firewood to carry and stuff. So we met there, but there weren't people, some of the people weren't there, and I sent somebody over to the beachside to the, where their people were eating, and they came back and said, oh, they said that they just ordered dinner. And I said, but it's time for this ritual. And I was kind of confused. And so I said, well, whatever. And then the person who was the runner that went to talk to him said, well, I'm going to go tell him that it's time to do it. And so she went back there. So we drove a little farther and we carried all the wood down to the beach and we built a beautiful fire, but we didn't light it because they were going to come any minute. And we waited like 45 minutes. And the person who went down to talk to him never showed up either. And then when we did, I lit the fire and I started drumming, and the people were just sitting there and somebody had brought a guitar, and I was taking it personally. I was getting angry. And finally I stopped and I said, what's going on here? And they said, one of them said, oh, I thought we were just gonna kind of meet down here whenever we wanted to and sing jambalaya, you know, sing camp songs and stuff. I didn't know what you were doing. And it really woke me up to the fact that a ceremony like that needs a very strong intent that everybody is understanding, that everybody has faith in, that everybody agrees to participate in, and that out of that intent comes a strong energy that we create together to do what we do. And even though then I kind of tried to outline it at that point, and it never really worked. It never really got off the ground. People were feeling bad because they thought they had ruined it all, you know, because they didn't understand it. But it was a great discussion for our meeting the next morning. But the point being that we create out of our intent, and in ceremony and ritual, if we don't have a clear intent, then that is the result of the ceremony. And in our daily lives, we create out of our intent, out of our word, and if it's unconscious and we're not paying attention to what we're thinking with our thoughts and our deeds and our belief systems and putting into the world, we'll have the same kind of results come back to us that I did with that ceremony. Which is why Miguel, your beloved father, invites us to be impeccable with our word, to be conscious of it, and to not use it against ourselves, to be very clear about not just what we're saying, but everything we believe and all of our agreements that are down deeper in our subconscious place, to bring those into awareness and be as clear as we can in every moment about where our attention is when we're doing anything in our lives.
Thank you, and thank you so much for being in our show.
Oh, pleasure.
TaltecOnline.com, where we are creating spiritual community through love in action.